Age of Transitions.
You are listening to The Age of Transitions. I'm your host, Aaron Franz, coming at you live this Friday night, the 9th of September, 2022, live from the facilities of Ocelli.com. Every Friday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, the first hour is The Age of Transitions. Second hour transitions into Uncle the Podcast. So if you're listening live, do stick around for the full 2 hours. If you're listening in podcast form, thank you very much. The website is theageoftransitions.com. You can find the podcast there. You can find the podcasts on pretty much any podcast app out there. If it's missing from one, let me know. I'll probably be able to get it on there very easily. So thank you for listening and supporting. Also support at theageoftransitions.com. Have the Patreon campaign, where if you subscribe for $3 or more per month, you get access to the bonus podcast feed. Plus, there's other bonus material. Just posted that intro to the Age of Transitions 2 video. That's up there, along with some other videos and podcasts. So thank you to all the Patreon supporters for bringing the show, keeping it going. Also, you can buy a copy of my book, Revolve, Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood. It's available as a paperback or an ebook. So you find the links to that on the website too. And we also have t-shirts. Have Age of Transitions t-shirts. Have Uncle the Podcast t-shirts. Also have Ocelli Effect shirts. So if you buy the Ocelli shirt, I will send the funds to Chuck and it will go to support the Ocelli Radio Network, which you should also do. It brings you this live show. And it being a live show, you can call in. The call-in number is 319-527-5016, or you can message Chuck, charles.ocelli on Skype. Send a message. He'll bring you into the call, or call 319-527-5016. Also, at theageoftransitions.com, we've got the bookshop.org affiliate link. Buy books on there, and you'll be supporting the show here. Also, if you're thinking about doing a podcast, consider Libsyn as your podcast hosting service. It's what I use. I do love it. It makes the world easy, the world of podcasting. So use promo code Franz, and you'll get 2 months free there. You can also click through the links at theageoftransitions.com for that Libsyn promo code. Okay, thank you for coming back, as always, for listening. Perhaps you've been sharing the show with people that you know. Thank you very much for that. For being here over the years, for being a new listener, whatever the case may be, glad to have you here. And again, if you're listening live, great to hear from you. Again, 319-527-5016. Call in and I'll talk to you. And that's the case every Friday night as we record on Ocelli.com. So just remember that. If you ever, don't be bashful. Call in any given Friday if it works for you. I'd love to speak with you. So just putting that out there. If anybody's been considering it, go ahead and do that. And yes, so much to talk about. I think I'm just going to begin the show with some, this is a thought that I think of this regularly. I kind of like go back to this, and it's a good relaxing sort of, thing to, it's a concept, religious kind of concept that brings you back to a place where you can relax, which is something that's very useful now. And the particular religion would be Buddhism here, because involves the Buddha, the symbol of enlightenment, the anthropomorphized symbol of enlightenment itself, the Buddha. And I don't know, but I have never seen a depiction of the Buddha where the Buddha is not smiling or laughing. Always smiling or laughing. And that's, there's something very symbolic in that. Something important is being conveyed, important message there, that, the Buddha laughs not in ignorance of the pain of the world. It's not through ignorance of pain of the world that the Buddha laughs, but it's in spite of that pain, suffering, that the Buddha laughs. So, being the symbol of enlightenment, I mean, it goes without saying that the Buddha is aware of the suffering in the world. That is just a given. It's always been a given. It's the way of things. You know, anything that's born into the world is sure to die. So, and along the way, suffer many things. And, you know, so much about suffering in Buddhism. And all you have to do is to simply desire something and you're already suffering in the Buddhist concept of the world, right? So clearly there's no way out of suffering for living here. Excuse me. If we're living here, that's the way of things. So why would it be then that the Buddha is smiling at all and let alone laughing? Why? What's this laughing? Like, what's so funny about this? This situation we are in together, all of us, is a bit of a horror show. And again, that's just the fact of the matter. That's just, it doesn't take a genius. It doesn't, it's just a plain simple truth that we have to deal with this mess. So why is it that the Buddha would laugh? It's because of the recognition of, that higher reality. That if it doesn't, it doesn't necessarily, I don't think, even have to transcend the material existence that we're in, but it's certainly an aspect of it, and it does go beyond it. And there's so much to, you have to kind of meditate on that, so to speak, in order to even start understanding. And these sorts of things, these concepts, they don't make sense logically lots of times. It sounds like you're being foolish. It's like, oh, you're a fool trying to say that, something like that laughter is even, that it makes any kind of sense. But not everything has to make logical sense too. And that's like part of the recognizing higher truth. Like, not everything is logical. Not everything makes sense. But certain things, they just are, and certainly the transcendent transcends what we know of as logic and the ways that we perceive the objective world. Not that those things are bad, and not even that the material world is evil, but you have to be able to go to a place in your consciousness where you can retreat from the pain and go above, beyond, and again, penetrating through everything that there is. And so, I just, frankly, I was driving home today from work and trying to think about what to say on the show, honestly. And then that popped to mind. I was like, why don't we bring that up? Because it's something that I kind of return to regularly just in my daily life. Like, every now and then, like, I go back to that. And I'm one actually that does like to laugh on a regular basis. I probably do it a lot more than the average person does. I laugh my fair share quite a bit, and oftentimes at ridiculous things, and oftentimes it's completely senseless when I'm laughing. And frankly, I probably look like a kook to a lot of people oftentimes, but that doesn't matter to me because it beats the alternative of just, living in utter misery, which is not difficult to do. And I see a lot of people doing it. I see a lot of people, and I'm not, again, I'm not judging. I'm not saying that it's wrong that people are in misery. A lot of people are suffering for a great many reasons, and it's legitimate, and I'm not taking that away from anybody. And I live overall a very good life compared to most people, and so I'm aware of that, and I try to be grateful of that. But at the same time, we're all guilty of not the sin, but just the act of taking a lot of things too seriously a lot of times. And another thing that kind of causes me to laugh is when people take things so seriously, I find it comical and then I start laughing. And I believe that I probably upset a few people when I do laugh because they're taking things so seriously and I'm clearly not. So I'm sure that's ruffled some feathers, but it's just the way of things. And I'm certainly not the Buddha. I'm not enlightened, but I'm just trying to take these concepts and apply them. If anything, just to, you know, take the edge off a little bit. You know, we all need that. We need to be able to break the tension down a notch or two. You know, is it that bad? And then also, you know, just default. I think it's important to default. And remember what the obvious outcome of our lives are. Again, we're going to die is the obvious outcome here. We're going there. We're all getting there. It's going to happen. We can delude ourselves and act like it's not going to, but at some point we're all going to cease to exist. And again, the Buddha is laughing at that. Laughing in spite of that. It's like, yes, death is the way of things. And it's like, well, you know, so be it. Because it's worthwhile to just take some time, set it aside, and think about death and complete finality. And again, just, you know, meditate on the concept of the end of absolutely everything. And if you can begin to conceptualize a complete and utter ending to all things, which conceivably death should be, right? Because your consciousness ends, so all things end for you, so it's all over, so there is no more of anything anymore. Give that a thought sometime. You know, see what you come up with. Tell me what you think of that idea. And I know it terrifies a lot of people because they believe in the concept of complete finality. But personally, I don't think there even is such a thing as complete, and there can't be. There's no such things continue. You know, even if it's not you, it doesn't have to be you, but material reality, existence, and even consciousness continues on. And even if consciousness as we know it in like animals, and you could debate this, but plants, if that were even extinguished as we knew it, what would happen then? Is that that would be a greater form of finality than the individual death. However, you know, wait a few millennia and see what happens then. You might find that the same things return again. So the old concept of reincarnation, rebirth, you know. So, and time is all relative. We have so many years to spend personally, but it amounts to absolutely nothing on the grand scale. And yet, if you dial it back to the moment that we're in, and you look at it in a different relative sense, you can also say that you're existing infinitely in the space, your space of consciousness, because you can be consciously aware of a great number of things all at one time. And then what does that do to your sense of time? And what are you doing with, you know, a few seconds of time? How much are you doing in that time? How much is being done, even if it's only in the realm of the mind, of consciousness, it's still doing something, I would argue. Some would argue to the contrary, but they're probably the people that don't laugh very much. So, frankly, I don't really – they let them believe what they will. And in turn, I will believe what I believe, and – neither one of us is going to stop the other. So, you know, why would you try to change the mind of somebody else? There's no point. And you can't do it. You can't change somebody's mind. Only somebody can do that from inside themselves. They have to make the choice. They have to go through it. And it can be spurred on by something. Again, a meditation perhaps. Maybe, you know, they thought for a second about complete finality and they had a couple thoughts came to mind and maybe it changed their perspective on the world. Perhaps crazier things have happened. So, you know, oh, I'm getting a call. This is good. Okay, so, caller, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Jimmy James. I'm calling from Stone's Throw, Michigan.
Ooh, Stone's Throw. I like that. That's cool. All right, hey, have you considered the finality of life lately, Jimmy?
Well, I've been hearing what you've been saying, the being born, the suffering, and the dying.
Yeah.
And I get what you're saying. It's fun stuff.
Yeah, I enjoy it. What's your take on all this? Do you have any philosophical anecdotes here?
What if we just keep existing within our own time? And we're trapped here, like animals.
Oh, you're saying the more literal interpretation of reincarnation, where once we die, we do come back, and we spend another life, and then that's extinguished, and we do it again? Is that what you're speaking about?
What's going on here?
What do you mean?
Huh. Anyone there?
Wait, no, I'm here. I'm, can you hear me, Jimmy?
Well, I'll just entertain you people until Aaron returns.
Wait a minute. Jimmy, can you hear me? Jimmy, can you
yeah,
hear me?
I hear you.
Okay, Aaron was still talking. I don't know why you weren't hearing him.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm talking.
Aaron, go ahead and say something.
Really?
Well, now I hear you.
Chuck, can you hear
you
me
now?
Yes, we're all doing a revamp of that commercial. Can you hear me now? Yes, I do. I hear everybody. I don't know what's going on, but all of a sudden Jimmy didn't hear you for some reason. Okay, but you hear him now. All right.
I thought it was just.
Oh, no problem. I thought it was just me getting dizzy from the heat in the room here, but no, because my AC's busted. and I'm like, wait a minute, why is Jimmy talking like he doesn't hear Aaron? I hear Aaron. So okay.
Anyway, wait a minute. There's too much laughing going on here. I have a question for Jimmy. Do you ever laugh and people get mad that you laugh? Because they wish that you're like angry or crying or upset instead. Does that happen to you?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. This happens to me all the time, Aaron, as a matter of fact.
Mm.
I can't even help it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Stop being funny is what I tell them. Like, I wouldn't be laughing if you weren't doing funny stuff. I mean, come on.
Back to the smiling Buddha. I was thinking, Jay and Silent Bob's film there where Carlin's the minister. Remember they had a Jesus with that great big smile on his face?
Dogma. Yes.
Yeah, Dogma. And
yeah,
I don't know. It just was funny because you don't see Jesus smiling.
That was the Buddy Christ.
He was doing like a thumbs up or something. He was like pointing to the side, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he did have his thumb up, and he had a great big, like, toothy smile. I don't know. I just remember it being really kind of funny. Just odd.
Yeah, there you go. That's, I guess, combined.
No, go ahead.
No, go on, Jimmy. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Continue.
No, I was just going to say that also I was thinking of Yoda. Yoda's very Buddha-like.
Yeah, have Yoda's interesting. That? Yeah, he's interesting when he first meets Luke, too, because he's playing up the character of the laughing, and he's acting like a – he's acting the fool, right? And he's, like, being very clownish and silly. And, you know, he's kind of like, as far as movie making goes, he's like a comic relief style character. He's just doing, like, silly, ridiculous things. He's, like, throwing his hot dog around, hitting the robot with a stick and stuff. But what he's doing is he's testing Luke's patience, right? And he's seeing if he'll react in such a way where he gets all upset. Instead of just like kind of like laughing along with him, which is what Yoda desires him to do, but he fails because he doesn't.
Too old. Come on, Yoda. It takes 100 years.
The youngling is too old.
I got 2 11-minute segments. How about that, Yoda? Whole of an ass you are.
Yoda's a cool character.
I noticed there's also like a kind of like Jesus quote. Well, not quote, but like when this little ship is sinking into the bog, Yoda almost practically says, "Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow," you know. Oh, you're so worried about that piece of crap.
Yeah, and also he's reprimanding Luke for his negative attitude and saying, like, what can't be done. He's saying, like, oh, you're always thinking about what can't be done instead of focusing on what you can do instead, I think is what he says there, if I remember. Well, somebody put the buddy Christ. Oh, Chuck dropped that into the Ochilli Effect chat. That's it.
Buddy Jesus. That's where I came up with this idea of buddy gov. Everyone loves the government nowadays. I can't help but notice. I think they should have Uncle Sam with a big old smile and a wink giving the thumbs up. Yeah. Oh, no, buddy gov will fix it.
It's a lot nicer than the Big Brother image, which is more along the opposite side that we're talking about, like the humorless sort of, you know, intense sort of take on things instead of the carefree happy. And you're saying the carefree happy, you probably go further with a spoonful of sugar than, I forget how the saying goes, what the opposite of the spoonful of sugar, something about being sour or something, I don't know.
You can catch more flies with napalm. That's how the goes.
Now I remember. Yes, that's
but,
it. I remember in middle school, this new girl came to school and she sat behind me in some class. I don't know. And she was talking about how you can make, I think, napalm out of, if you put styrofoam in gasoline, it turns into napalm or something. And she's talking about some other crazy stuff. I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
No, that's ridiculous. To make napalm, you would have to get diesel involved for one thing. But let's not go on to that.
That just popped in my head. But yeah,
it seemed like I had something else vital to cover. Let's see, you were talking Buddha smiles. I had the Yoda proposition. What else did you say?
Okay, so Buddha is laughing in spite of the pain. He's not living in ignorance of it. he's quite aware of the pain, but that's almost, it's almost so obvious, like the horrors of the world are almost so obvious as they're not trivial by any means, but to dwell on them is to do a disservice to yourself, I suppose. I don't know.
Well, Buddha's a big feller. He's doing pretty good for himself for back in the day.
Yeah, maybe right.
He just had some good weed. He probably had some good smoke. I don't know.
Quite potentially. Yeah. The belly, too. Yes, all that. The images of the Buddha that we're all familiar with. Yeah. Have you ever seen...
No, go ahead.
Have you ever seen a Buddha? I can't remember seeing that.
Yes. I've seen a Buddha. I've seen Buddha. One of my dad's best friend was a Japanese fella. He had them around for some reason. They were also what you call Shintoism.
Okay. Well, it's been good to talk to you, Jimmy. Anything else before you head out?
Well, I'll always go out the same door you came in. Okay, goodbye.
Okay, you know where that is. We'll see you, Jimmy. Take care now. Okay, so that was Jimmy James, a frequent caller. I'm glad to have him on. If you want to call in, please feel free. You can call 319-527-5016, or you can also use Skype. Send a message to Chuck on Skype. He's Charles.Ocelli. Type him a message. He'll bring you on the call, or call on the telephone, 319-527-5016. We're enjoying ourselves tonight. It's Friday. It's a good day to relax. And it looks like there was some talk about that napalm anarchist cookbook recipe that my classmate gave to me back in that's seventh grade, I think. Yes, that would have been seventh grade. I would say her name, but I don't want to, for privacy's sake, I don't want to, but she's a character. I think there were some stories about hypodermic needles after that. So, you know, it's always interesting, you know, when your fellow classmates are interesting characters. And there's no shortage of characters out there and fun things to laugh at. If you go walking around town, you will find it. You go walking around town, you're going to find that the only other people walking around town are typically a bit out there. And if you want a good laugh, you're in the right place. So that's another thing my years of experience have taught me. You go walking about town, especially, you know, small town, big town, it doesn't matter. You're probably doing something that most people don't do, but the ones that do it, they are going to be interesting. And if you, most of the time, it seems they want to entertain you. It's like these folks, revel in entertaining anybody who ends up showing up. So if you're crazy enough to do that, they're more than happy to put on the show that is whatever it is that they do or say, which you can never predict. But it's always fun, and I've got some of my best memories, honestly, are remembering back on insane things that people have done and said in these, again, just what are regular everyday situations. You're just out there in the world. And maybe that's what Buddha's laughing at too. He went and took a stroll down the sidewalk, ran into some nut and started making him laugh. And then, you know, all the cares and worries that he might have had, well, he forgot about them. They might not have mattered anyway. Maybe they do. They can matter a little, but you don't want to dwell on things where worry consumes you. That's for sure. No doubt about that. Dwelling and worrying causes, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything except drain you, sucks the life and energy out of you. And most of the time you find the things that you worry about, they don't even really come to fruition. The thing that you worry might happen doesn't. Now, I'm not saying that it never does, and it's not, you know, if there are things to worry about and there's things that you need to tend to, please do that. And don't shirk your responsibilities. But at the same time, don't worry, worry, worry about everything. Not healthy. Not good. And in more often than not, it doesn't really serve a valuable purpose. It doesn't get anything done. So why bother? So there you go. I'm trying to think. Oh, I did read a article that I was looking for the link to, but I couldn't find it. But I do remember what it said. It had, it was written, I believe, by a major intelligence official. I think the head of like the DIA or something. Something like that. Like some huge intelligence official wrote this piece. And it was about a strategy that we, you know, when I say we, he's basically saying, you know, the intelligence community in the United States and the United States government, the strategy that they should take for, you know, propaganda against Russia, what they should do with sending messages overseas to the Russian people to convince them that, you know, their leader Putin is not to be trusted, isn't the guy he makes himself out to be, and, you know, running counter to the Russian narrative domestically there. What can they do to undermine the domestic Russian propaganda campaign? And he was saying that the old sort of strategy that they used around in the 80s and whatnot of appealing to the greatness of the United States and the West, and, oh, it's so great here in the U.S. You would have a better life if you lived here. That doesn't work anymore. It's better to placate, like, Russian nationalism and Russian pride and things of that nature than it is to showcase the great aspects of the West and of America. It's more advantageous, he said. And he was saying that something that really caught my eye in this article is he's saying that it would be good to get, like, I forget if he used this terminology, but social media influencers in Russia to basically pay them to run these sorts of propaganda ops on the Russian people, where they're, you know, they'll do things like say that Putin isn't the strong guy that he claims he is. He's actually weak in this way. And what else was he suggesting? They say that past Russian glory is gone and Putin's not able to get it back, and, you know, the follies of the war in Ukraine, things like this. But he specifically was saying that social media should be used to buy again, I forget if he said social media influencers, but that's the equivalent of what he was talking about for sure. And that those voices and that media sphere needs to be leveraged to run our American propaganda campaign against the Russians on their home, in their homeland of Russia. Again, in the virtual space, right? But there was this subtext there, which there's always the subtext in all this. I've been going over this in the past few shows, like the reading the between the lines of what these people are saying when they're talking about dealing with Russia, dealing with China, dealing with the information war within Cold War 2.0. is they tell you a lot of things, yes, and they're saying like, yeah, of course we want to run propaganda in Russia to counter Russian propaganda. So, you know, the dueling propagandas. They tell you that, but they also, again, you have to read between the lines a lot, and there's definitely a lot of things going on. And clearly, he did not address this at all, of that this is obviously happening in the U.S. I mean, we have heard a bit about this, you know, the Russian bots, blah, 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 blah. We've heard about it quite a bit in the media. However, he doesn't make mention of it at all in this article. It's not like, well, Russia does it, so we have to do it. But again, there's kind of like that, it's kind of implicit, where it's like, okay, they want to do that? We could do it, you know? And this is where the battle is? Okay. Okay. Social media? Fine. We'll go to Russian social media because, of course, it's its own social media sphere. And all these countries, the U.S., Russia, China, they all are – not only do they want insular virtual spaces for their internet space where the contamination of those other countries – and the propaganda from those other countries doesn't come into the virtual experience of their nation, of whatever. If we're talking about America, they don't want any propaganda influence from Russia or China. If you're in China, they don't want anything to do with American internet, anything. They don't want them around. Going to boot those Silicon Valley companies out of the country. And the tech and virtual worlds and the online space in China is proprietary, I guess, right? Or they want it to be. And you can't completely insulate yourself in a still globalized world because it is still globalized. But it's interesting to see how the interplay between globalization and nationalism is playing itself out as of late. Because certainly the 2.0 scheme of things is huge. And the cybersecurity aspects of keeping everything within the national purview of your control, you want to do that to the greatest extent possible. And where there are influence ops coming from abroad, you want to be able to do something about that. And I think because their online experience is so varied and so massive and just so all over the place, that's, you know, that's the nature of the beast that they're all playing around with. And they're all trying to control this thing, which, again, cannot completely be controlled. And I think everybody realizes this. And it's just everybody's just trying to do their best in the face of this Leviathan that has emerged from out of the ocean, the digital ocean. This thing has come, and the Hydra, the many-headed Hydra, you chop off one, it's got 8 more heads, and it's got another one growing too, so it'll have 9 again. So, you know, this is the nature of technology. It's the nature of the beast that we have created by our own hands. And as I point out often, it is quickly, rapidly getting away from us all. The more that we try to clutch onto the and gain control of it, the more it slips through our hands like water, right? That's the Hydra reference, water. You try to grab it, it just falls right through your fingers. And so is the nature of technology, progress, technological power. The more you have to wield, the more it's going to recoil, you know, like a firearm does. The more powerful the firearm, the stronger the recoil. And, you know, you can't hold a massive caliber weapon as a handgun, can you? You have to build special apparatus just to tote this artillery around. And so you build giant machines and giant equipment in order to hold your larger and larger size weapons. And after a while, the equipment becomes so cumbersome and ungainly that there's no way that you can push this. It has to be powered by, again, like greater, more powerful motors, engines. So it is that the technology becomes more dependent on its own strength, its own powers to propel itself forward. We're still using it. All the while, it becomes bigger and harder to manage. While simultaneously, yes, we've come up with a way to make it mobile and work. However, we've built a massive instrument that don't run over your foot with it. That's for sure, right? And that's putting it lightly. So I don't know if all these metaphors make sense. Just things to think about in the world that we love to hate. Chuck is asking if there were evacuations out here in California this week. The answer is yes. I live in Southern California, Inland Empire, nearby Hemet. Hemet's not far away from me. Had a fire out there, which I believe is still going. We just got a lot of rain today. I don't know if that put the fire out, but up to this point, it'd been going for this whole past week, and they did evacuate parts of Hemet. Some people couldn't get out because lots of areas over there are, there's a lot of like one road in and out of there. So people got trapped and things like that. So there have been some deaths in that fire. That's near here. It's actually between where I'm at and Landers, really. If you drove from here, if you went the back way, you drive through there from Riverside, where I'm at, out to Landers in the desert. Let's see here. Christy is in the chat saying, my friend is in Hemet. She just took a photo of the view from her street. Fire's about 3 miles away from her right now. Yeah, okay, yeah. I think the fire is still going. Again, we had a lot of rain today, and the rain was from a hurricane in the Pacific. Hurricane in the Pacific. Not often that happens, but there was one out there, and so we got a lot of wind and rain as a consequence of the hurricane happening. So crazy weather. There was another wildfire up by San Bernardino, I think, too. So a few fires in the Inland Empire area. So lots of fires. The crazy hurricane weather, insane weather patterns. It's all part of the apocalypse that we've brought onto ourselves. Your Oceanside friend, her fire is pretty much out because of the rain. Oh, okay, but there's still several going. Yeah, all right. The rain wasn't enough to put them all out, but it must have had some helpful effect. Yeah, fire season. Fire season hasn't been too bad up until this point because it usually gets really bad. It's been quite dry, so I'm surprised there haven't been more than there have been this year. But I would like it if it rained more, but I'm not counting on that. We'll probably just get these hurricane rains, and then that'll be the end of that. So unfortunately, I think that's what's going to happen there. But Hemet's an interesting place. It's Hemet is one of these peripheral cities that is on the edge of civilization that is known as Southern California, and then really the wilderness. It's on the edge of that. It's out here at the edge of the Inland Empire. Yeah, Menifee. That's the same general area, Menifee. But it's one of those peripheral places that I love peripheral things. Like the city of Orange is actually the same sort of peripheral sort of thing. It was on the edge of Orange County. And then you head out San Diego Canyon Road, which is Chapman. You head out there and you're out in again, you're like in the wilderness then. It's really cool. I love places like that where you're just, you know, you're there. I'm in Southern California. And then you keep driving down the road, but it's like, I'm out in the middle of nowhere. Lots of interesting things out in Hemet. Jeff Hanneman, the late guitarist from Slayer, ended up living in Hemet. Originally, they all lived in Huntington Park in L.A., but at some point he moved out there. And I've seen his house, I think, on Google Maps or somewhere. I looked at it. It looks like a cool spot. I think his wife might still live out there. But I assume he might have moved out there because he was into dirt biking. I'll bet he probably just, you know, took his dirt bike, went down the street, and just went into the hills and stuff, you know. I assume that's probably what he did. And it might have been one of the reasons he lived out there. You know, he would wear, like, his shin guards and stuff on stage a lot. He got to do that in the later years. So I don't know, but he lived out there. Let's see here. Phase Shifter is asking, is Hemet a Scientology stronghold? Sort of. Out in San Jacinto, which is right next to it, really, is the gold base. The headquarters of Scientology, which fascinating place. You go down a stretch of road, and on both sides of the road are the Scientology gold base. The property there is on both sides, and they have barbed wire, razor wire. And if you stop on the highway, their security will come out and be very upset with you. There is a really weird replica of this boat thing, this like boat stage thing they have there. They have a lot of barracks or whatever you want to call them for Sea Org members where, you know, they lock them in there and they keep them in there to slave away. And there are a couple of different mansions on the property. One of them is known as Bonnie View, which is the mansion that was built for L. Ron Hubbard. I think it might have started construction while he's still alive, but then he died while it was being built, I think. Or he may have already been dead and they were building it. But anyway, it's still there today and it's maintained and it's cleaned and it's kept up pristinely from this, as the story is told. And they keep all of L. Ron Hubbard's old belongings there, like his clothing, his old cars are in the garage. His belongings are in the house, and the housekeepers keep it up because they're just waiting for the day that he reincarnates, he is to live there. So the day that L. Ron Hubbard reincarnates, he'll live in the Bonnie View Mansion. And then just past the Bonnie View building, house, mansion, there is another mansion, which I think is David Miscavige's, where he stays, his residence at the compound. And I think he has offices in there too. But it's a larger mansion even than Bonnie View. And it's more sort of, want to call it contemporary, but it's a different style than the Bonnie View one is. So that's Gold Base. That's out there in San Jacinto near Hemet, which I haven't driven right on the road by that, but I've driven on another road where I could see those. I could see all that stuff off from the road I was on when I was traveling through there. So the thought has crossed my mind to drive down the street right by it and stop and see what security does. But the other thought is, why even bother with that mess? What am I going to get out of that, especially at this point? So that is out there near Hemet. If you say it's in Hemet, I think people that live in Hemet get upset if you say it. It's like, yeah, it's not in Hemet. It's San Jacinto, okay? That's a different place. It's not here. But, yeah, interesting countryside out there. Very, it's really quite pretty out there with the hills and the rocks, lots of rocks. Interesting. It's an interesting spot. Peripheral area of Southern California. Let's see here. Let's see. She's in a normal neighborhood. We're talking about Menifee, one of the brand new ones. Oh, yeah. There's lots of tract housing developments all over. People do come out here to get more affordable housing than in Orange County or L.A. County. She hates it, but she really wanted a home. They actually scammed her with all this hidden stuff. She didn't take time to research before she signed. What? Okay, that sounds rough. Okay, so buyer beware before moving out to the Inland Empire. Just look into what you're getting, I guess. We've had good luck here in Riverside. I mean, we did a similar thing, got a nice large house that we could actually afford out this way. So it worked for us, but I can't speak for everybody's experience. Base Shifter saying one day the Franz Kalt compound in Landers will be the Platinum Base. Sure will. We'll have quite the greenhouse. I'll have to get some acolytes employed so that they can slave away in the greenhouse, and every demand that I yell at them, they do. So I got to work on that, and I'll be like, make that alien bonsai, or the aliens will beam you up to their ship and do something terrible. Don't make me make them, because they'll do it. All right? The ghost of George Van Tassel told me that's what would happen. So get to work and make those alien bonsai trees. So it's going to be a good business out there, okay? We've got it all planned out. It's going to go great. So don't worry. That's coming in the future. lots of, I mean, it really is an interesting area, the Inland Empire. It really is. It's one of those, not only is it peripheral, but it's one of those out of sight, out of mind things too. Because believe me, a lot of people in Southern California don't want anything to do with all of this out here. The only thing they want to have to do with it is make fun of it about how stupid it is out here and how horrible it is. And in fact, I was watching the news coverage of the fire in Hemet, and they were showing footage, live footage, of the burning of somebody's home, and it was a rural area, again, peripheral Hemet, which is a town, a city, but still, you get into some of the neighborhoods, it's straight up rural. So you're looking at somebody's home that is, on the countryside of the Inland Empire. And the reporter was being really, I don't know if crass is the right word, or, but just really, inconsiderate, I'd say. They're like, yeah, people actually live out here. They were saying something to that effect. It's like, yes, you can see these houses. There's only one road in, one road out. And believe it or not, people actually live out here. I thought it was hilarious. It's such a LA thing to say, is that. It's certainly spoke volumes, and, you know, you just get used to that when you live out here, that sort of attitude. And I kind of enjoy, quite frankly, I do enjoy, I like it when people act like that, because it's another thing that makes me laugh because it's just like, oh, geez, really? Like, but I find it hubris, like their ignorance is, I guess, what I'm saying. So ignorance can be funny. And yeah, despite the fires, it can be nice out here when it's not burning. But, you know, near L.A., it's not like it's never burned there. So, you know, L.A., Orange County, they've had their share of fires. So just saying. We're nearing the end of the show, so I will remind live listeners to stick around because Uncle the Broadcast is coming up. I think we're going to do a musical performance and do the Name That Tune thing tonight. We have our song together. So if you win, if you guess the name of the song that we're playing and the original artist that did perform it, guess what? You win an Uncle the Podcast tie-dye t-shirt. I'll tie-dye whatever color you want. You let me know. I'll tie-dye it in those colors. Name a few colors. I'll throw them all in there. So there you go. Coming up on Uncle the Podcast on the Ocelli Radio Network. Friday nights. It's pure entertainment for you. Thank you, everybody who supports the show. Again, theageoftransitions.com is my website. Check that out. My name is Aaron Franz, and as always, I will leave you by saying, Seeker, seek on.
The Age of Transition. Revelation through conversation.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started.
WallStreetWindow.com.
Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go there now.
Go there now.
Put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles are just really, really pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
World order, gossip, hearsay, slander, rumors. There's a gene for that, okay? So how do you combat it? Slowly, carefully, painfully. It's a painful process. Every single headline points to the birth pangs of new world order. When historians of the future look back at the 21st century, they'll say, well, gee, all the crises of the 21st century, it's obvious. There's a direction, there's a pattern. The birth of a new world order. The pattern. The birth of a new order.
Revelation through conversation.
Chili.com.
News, entertainment, and more. You will learn something, children's. Ocelli.com.
expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Ocelli.com.
Emergency broadcast. Code red, code red, code red, here we are. Pick up your iPads, your cell phones, and have me and listen to Uncle the Podcast. Watch out. If you're sitting down for this, or if you're standing up, you better get ready for this, because it's going to hit the eardrums. Uncle the Podcast.
You are listening to Uncle the Broadcast. My name is Dan. I'm the nephew-in-law. And he's the star of the show, Uncle.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. 275.
We're live Friday night on Ocelli.com, the Ocelli Radio Network. And, yeah, doing the show.
And I'm going to make you go to bed at 9 o'clock.
Bed at 9 o'clock? Why is that?
Because. Yes, you're screaming. You got to stop that.
Screaming? Was I laughing?
Man, I couldn't sleep.
Oh, it's funny you bring this up, Uncle, because I was talking about this on the first hour about how I like to laugh and it annoys people.
Yes, it did me.
You're one of those people.
Yes, at me, and it's going to stop.
Is it?
You're either going to government at 10 o'clock. Giving you a time span, and don't worry, or have a mouth quiet and watch a show. Because when I'm sleeping, I want some sleep. I yell at your wife out there, and this is why I have waited on the air to say it here now and here now and then.
You want me to know?
No way. That's why I did on my air. My side.
Okay.
All right, now.
Well, okay. I guess I got to be quiet at night and not be laughing so much. So
right.
There you go. There's the proof for you, what I was saying in the first hour now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's corroborated my stories.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to know that.
Yeah.
You can call into the show tonight. The number's 395-275-016. You can also use Skype. Charles.Ocelli is the Skype handle to call in. Charles.Ocelli.
Maybe we got somebody on the line.
Actually, you message Chuck, Charles.Ocelli on Skype, and he'll
bring and I bet call. It's Jimmy.
Yeah.
I guess. How is he feeling these days?
Well, I don't think he's on the line right now. But
see him there.
Well, there's quite a few people in the chat room is what we got going on.
I got Chuck one side, Jimmy talking.
Creative Accent says, looking good, guys. Uncle, talk about the Queen and the Corgis.
Oh, he likes those guys. Those little things. Pioneers running around. And Mr. Sharpman, I want to hear your voice on this thing, too.
Shark?
Sharpman here. New name for this guy.
Okay. Sharkman. I want to hear from you.
Yeah. Get my 2 points.
319-527-5016.
It's crack moon.
Let us know how the sound is coming through, because we want to play Name That Tune. We want to play the Name That Tune. Game. Let us know if there's any sound issues. Listeners in the crack room, let us know if you hear us or if you don't, or if it's bad or if it's good. You just tell us, and then we will play it by ear, and we're hoping.
If they can't hear it, this is a scratch thing.
We might.
I understand.
We might have to postpone the song.
Postpone the phone because of the problem we have here. Yeah. If they can't hear.
Maybe next week we'll do it if that's the case. sounds.
Put it anyway.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay, Creative Accent says sounds amazing. So I guess we're doing okay. Yeah. It looks like my Wi-Fi icon is on full bar status, so why don't we just go for it?
Well, as long as people can hear it, fine. That's what I said. If they can hear us in the air, fine. But I'm just saying.
We'll go through with it. We'll do it. So, yeah, okay, so this is Name That Tune. Why don't you, Uncle...
Name a tune. We got to name a tune.
Explain
this
it.
Is a thing about the shoot system.
How's it work, Uncle?
They have to name the tune to call in for the name, what the tune of the name is. There's a song is to have a free show.
That's right.
That's how we do this.
Yes, yeah, so we're going to play a song. And
what is that guy doing?
Yeah, you like these graphics? This is the music.
What is graphic. This guy?
Yeah. It's a cat. So we have an Instagram, @UnclePodcast, where every now and then we do the same game, where I play a little something on the guitar. It's a song by a famous song from a rock band. You name the song title and whatever the artist was that originally did the song. If you get it, you get a shout out. And I do owe shout outs to both drummer Scott Healy, DURUMBER on Instagram, and also Rosie Pear, Melissa down in St. Pete. You both get a shout out because you won the recent Name That Tune on Instagram. So thank you, you two. You get your shout out there.
She did? Melissa, you did? Yeah. I haven't heard her for lately, though.
Feel free to call in.
I haven't heard her much.
Call up 319-527-5016.
So the last time I heard her, New Year's Revolution.
New Year's, yeah.
Yeah, that was the last time I heard her.
Yeah. So let's
see. How's Scotty doing?
So that we're playing the same game tonight. We're playing Name That Tune, but we're doing it live. We're doing it with MST. And it's going to be a punk version of a famous song that everybody should know.
Yeah.
My
voice will probably be ready for it, though.
Creative Accidents in the chat is saying, Uncle, I took revenge and affixed Uncle sticker on Living Spaces. Oh.
Living Spaces?
You went to Living Spaces and put Uncle the Podcast sticker on it. What do you think?
Oh, and told him not to take the trucks out.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm sure you did that.
I hope you did that when I say that, because them trucks stink. They can't even deliver properly.
Very bad. Don't go to Living
Spaces. Don't go Living Spaces, please.
Unless you're there with an Uncle sticker, then it's permissible. Who is this? This is someone interesting in the YouTube. Let me see. It's Manuel Adades Sebas.
Oh, is this somebody new?
I don't know what that is. Okay. It's just an A. Truck stink Living Spaces, yes. So anyway, we're bringing the Instagram Name That Tune game to the live show tonight. What your prize could be for naming the tune tonight is not just a shout out, which you'll get by default, but you'll get an Uncle the Podcast tie dye t-shirt. I think we have every size available, I believe. We'll be able to accommodate that.
And then we can do the other things I mentioned. Together.
This is, of course, care of and thanks to Robin.
Robin asked for this.
Yeah, because Robin we gave the t-shirt to being that he was the first Skype caller on video, but he said, no, just give my shirt to somebody who wins the Name That Tune. So this is, you know.
They do that sometimes.
Yeah.
People, they have so many of my shows out. That's what happens.
Yeah. So thank you, Robin, for this. And, yeah, let's see here. I'm trying to think. I had to move a couple things around. Uncle, you
I gotta remember
this,
what
right?
song. We're doing two songs.
One song.
I thought it was two.
We're doing that one. Remember? You'll know it when I play it, and yeah, I'll help you out a little. Don't get mad that I help you with the vocals.
Well,
it's just
backup, it's just okay? That I've been over with Mr. You know, Mrs. What's call it? But she's wacko sometimes.
She's wacko.
Amazon. The Amazon girl.
You're talking about listening to music.
Yeah.
You used that thing to listen to music too?
I did. I listened to that, but the problem is sometimes I can't shut it off.
I'm upset that we have any of those stupid things in our house, but that's
what do you mean?
You're talking about Amazon Alexa?
Alexa.
I hate it. But I can't control what everybody does in this house, unfortunately, so my...
Well, you got this. You got everything controls. What do you expect? You got all this electric running. I mean, not just them. It's all. Actually, I gotta admit, it's all of us in this house. That's blowing everything apart.
Blame is
everybody.
Blame
everybody.
Yes,
I don't want to that way.
I sure do that. So.
So that way I won't get in trouble. Who was that? Cool.
Okay, now, Uncle, I am going to – let me see here. I'm going to pull up – what graphic can I pull up?
I just saw a graphic. Man singing.
Yeah.
Hey, cool. What was that?
We have several – I'm going to pull up the Ocelli chat. And then, Uncle, why don't you talk while I set up the microphones a bit? Because I need to go off mic here while I set up the mic.
She's going to do his microphone, telephone, and radio. I mean, guitar action. So we are here tonight talking about this kind of talking. We have we got the balls playing. Who's winning the tennis court? Bang! I heard a ball go across the court. And it goes again.
Do you want to sit down?
Oh, well, I'll just sit in here.
You're gonna sit there.
I mean,
you
should I be?
That's good. I'm gonna stand up here.
All right, he's getting himself ready. But, Well, we need one of these smaller things to put in our ears and connection. There we have.
Chuck, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Can you hear that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, we're
good.
Yeah,
I can hear it.
So the sound
they can hear it. I can hear
it. Uncle, are you ready to sing this song?
You got to start it out. I got it. Boom, ba, boom, ba.
No, you'll know it when you hear it. I'll try not to trip on the dog.
Oh, yeah. What's the good back there?
I think we're good. All right. So here it is. This is Name That Tune, everybody. Ready?
Naming This Tune. I'm Song. Well, that was the song, people. What do you think about that? Numbers now. Let's get going and name that tune. Hello? Hello? Name that tune.
Okay.
I
should be better. Okay. That was it. I had a little problem with my, pedal there, but that made it more punk. I'm not upset with that at all.
Yeah.
I think that was recognizable.
Yeah, that was mine.
People are in the chat. And, we didn't stipulate. Does the person have to call in with the answer, Uncle, or can they leave it in the chat?
Oh. Either or, if you can hear him, and I like it too. It's either or, no man.
Because I see Ray has the title in the chat, but give the title and also the artist.
Yeah, you gotta have the artist with it.
We need the artist. Okay, here's a call.
Here's a caller.
We're gonna call.
Who is this caller?
Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling
from? Hello?
Jimmy James.
I know it was you.
No, all right, what's up?
What is it, Jimmy James? It sounds like you're doing better.
Oh, doing good.
Yeah, sounds like you got better.
It's the answer. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know who is the artist?
Who's the artist, though?
Holy crap.
I did that to you.
I just had my hit. Robert Palmer.
No, it wasn't. No. Yep. No, that wasn't it. Sorry, no, Jim.
We
that
need
was
the artist, right?
We need the artist.
We do.
We need the artist, but you had the song right. But the artist is need the artist.
We'd be sticklers with that.
Yeah, we have to have them both together. That's my move. But it has to be that way. You're going to have to know who the singer is. Come on.
You do have the title.
You got the title, right?
Listen, Jimmy, if nobody calls in with the artist, then we'll say you're the winner by default. But we do.
Default. They can do that? You can do that? If somebody don't call in for it, though.
Creative accidents.
Crazy accidents. Now, let's get you on here. What do you say?
So if
get on that phone. Let's hear you. Come on, let's go. Get that talking going.
If a caller calls in with the
Chris Jackson's got to call his name in. He's got to have his got to call in on the phone.
If you call in with the song title and the artist, and you tell us on the phone, we will give that person
the win.
Right. The pieces are all there to anybody who's able to.
Gotta be calling on. Gotta hear the voice. Is it?
Yes.
You gotta hear the voice.
We are hoping to get a caller to call in. Yeah, so it's 319-577-5016 or Skype in Charles.Ocelli.
But again, Jimmy's the winner if nobody calls in with the
It has to have the what you call though. But if he gets if they get the artist, then gotta know what the
creative
artist
accents
is
saying. Give it to Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy's got it. I mean, Jimmy's got it. But if somebody calls in with the artist too, I will give him that. So that's
you gotta give him a chance to get the artist though. I want to get an artist with what he said the song.
Yeah. But it was recognizable at least, right, Jimmy? Would you say that you recognize at least what we were doing somewhat, kind of?
Well, yeah, I have the song. I could picture the dude. I just can't picture his damn name. Or I
that's the picture
in the wrong name.
It's a hint, they're Canadian. It's a Canadian rock band.
Yeah, a Canadian rock band. Rock band, that's something to tell you.
They are Canadians, yes.
All I can give you.
So that's kind of an homage to Robin there, too. I didn't even intend that, but now I just kind of thought of that. So there we go. Yeah. Canadian band. Yeah. Let's see here. So, but yeah, we're live on Uncle the Podcast Friday, as we always are. We're going to continue on with the show. Jimmy is the current winner, but if somebody calls in with the
artist,
we will go to them as the winner. So, that being said, Jimmy, how are you doing?
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
They're not talking very well.
Doesn't sound good. I gotta say, I'm sorry, but.
I'm doing all right. I just had a little minor water in the wrong place there. Sorry.
Okay. Hey. Goodness gracious.
Oh, I haven't heard any crazy.
I have another name crossing my head. Can I try another name?
Absolutely.
Well, if nobody's calling, go ahead.
Is it the Romantics?
No, not the Romantics.
Oh man. This is like that Jeopardy style all over again.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Jeopardy. We gotta have a game poll.
Oh,
telephone
call.
We got a caller. Who is this on this line? Hold on, Jimmy.
Caller, you're on.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah.
Hey, good. Who is this?
Who we got?
This is Chris Graves.
Who is this?
How you doing?
Hello, caller. What's your name?
Chris Graves.
Oh, Chris. Yes.
How are
you? Okay, nice to have you, man. We're good
to have you. Oh. Okay.
Hey, what was the trivia question?
We just played a song. It's a rock song by a Canadian rock band. If you can name the title of the song and also the name of the original artist that played the song, then you win an Uncle the Podcast tie-dye t-shirt. Were you listening to that?
Yeah, no, I had to run into the gas station, so I think I missed the thing. But can I give a guess anyway?
Hey, put it out there.
Put it out there. See what you come up with.
Well, I was going to say Limelight by Rush.
No.
Nope.
Good guess, though.
I guess.
And here's a true story today. At work, somebody started playing music on their boombox, and this was the first time it happened. And I said, I didn't know it was going to play. Somebody was playing their music. I'm like, you dropped the bomb on me.
Oh,
the Gap Band's going to play.
You have a Skype.
I said that.
You have a Skype caller joining. By the way, they might want to take a shot at the song also.
Okay. Skype caller.
Get caller on here. Let's see who this is.
Who is this? Where are you calling from?
It's Mr. Flair.
Oh, hey, what's up, man? How are you
doing? Mr. Flair. Did you say Mr. Flair?
Mr. Flash.
Mr. Flash.
Oh, Mr. Flash. Oh, I thought it was Mr. Flash.
Friend down in Australia.
Down in Australia. We got this. Have you listened to the show so far, Mr. Flash?
Yeah, I've been listening for a while.
No, tonight's one.
This is Ray's nephew, right?
Ray's nephew. This is Ray's nephew. I know who he is.
Yeah.
So we got this show about what's the artist's name and what the song is that we just played.
Ah, so the song is You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
Right. And what's the artist's name?
By Batchman Chino Overdrive.
Yes.
It is.
That's it.
You win the show.
You got it.
It goes to you. Mr. Flash, it goes to you.
All right. Just tell me.
That was my third guess.
I'm sure it was.
Send it to my uncle.
Okay. I'll get a hold of him through email, and he can tell me the size and the colors and all that. We'll set it all up for you, Mr. Flash.
Yeah, yeah, Mr. Flash.
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah, thank you for playing.
Yeah. See, I'm telling you, those kids know. Kids know about songs. It's like they take the thing, even these computers. You see these computers? We can't even handle the computers properly.
You see me. I could barely get this thing going for the show tonight. And
this Mr. Flash, he just flashed it out. Boom.
He did. Flashed it out tonight. Not about it. So thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody's excited. Mr. Flash, you get lots of praise from Creative Accidents in the chat. We've got Alondra Rodriguez.
Rodriguez? Who's this guy?
I don't know if that's what even is going on there. I don't even think it's spam. I don't know what that is. But anyway.
Spam
it tastes better than that. And I don't know what's going on. Anyway. Yeah, name that tune. It goes good. It's a fun game. But yeah, I guessed that You Dropped the Bomb on Me would play today, and it came on. Amen. And I swear to you, I didn't know it was going to come on, but it did. And I feel good. I feel my intuition's in tune tonight, Uncle. Look out.
Yeah. I just was off the tune a little because I was trying to hit a spot of the song. Boom, boom. I was trying to figure that. Keep staying with the boom,
we
boom.
We probably could have practiced it more, both of us.
I know. I could have practiced
it. But that would have made it less punk. So it was a good punk performance that we did there, I think. It was not perfect by any degree.
Staying with that kind of song.
What's both of your favorite punk bands, by the way?
Ooh.
One is? It okay. is?
Do you have a favorite punk band, you?
Punk band.
Uncle's gonna probably.
I have to think about that.
The Ramones, Uncle?
The Ramones are not bad.
I would imagine it might be them for you. I don't know.
Yeah, Ramones. I just gotta remember. What I gotta do is I gotta listen to their songs. My problem is knowing the artist, but knowing the song, then I can tell you if it is not. That's how I do it by. It's just the opposite of other people, where they do it the other way, but I do it that way.
I used to listen to Rancid a lot when I was younger. So I mean, I like a lot of punk bands, but I guess I'll say favorite maybe them. They're really good.
Mm.
What about you, Chris?
What do
you
say, Chris? Chris. Well, Black. I like the Ramones and the Misfits myself, and a little bit of Black Flag when Henry Rollins was in there.
And Black.
Yeah, that stuff's all good. That stuff's all good for sure. Punk, Uncle.
Yeah, well. Punk, as long as I can understand, it's the songs, I must say, that you have to understand what they're saying.
You mean nobody's going to shout out the Dead Kennedys here? Really? Seriously?
No? What happened?
That was my other one, but I figured I'd only get three in.
Okay. Fair enough. No, I was like, I'm listening to, Rancid's a great band. Rancid, come on. I love Jello the Opera, though. I do.
I'm trying to get Jello on the podcast, actually.
Dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you could nail that would be excellent.
You know what? I had a old coworker that took Jello the Opera to Salvation Mountain out in the desert, and he showed him around out there one time. So
you did?
Yeah, it's a Jello the Opera.
Oh, wow.
I got to see
him out there.
I got to see him do a spoken word performance.
Apparently he really liked it. He's like, oh, I've seen this in movies. It's cool to come here. Apparently that's what my friend said. He was great
back in the 80s when he'd be on the talk shows and he'd be wearing a suit and tie, like defending, against censorship and stuff and music. And then you'd have other guys come on that look like, you know, Nazis and stuff sitting right next to him.
Yeah. It's always cool when those like crazy bands or artists, Gigi Allen would go on quite a few of those talk shows. Those were always fun. Those are always great. Those are fun.
LD Donahue?
Donahue. Yeah, was Gigi Allen on Donahue? Is that what he did? I don't remember. Was it Sally Jesse Raphael, maybe? It was something like that.
Yeah, it was usually Geraldo. Yeah, a lot of those. That other guy, too, the guy that would yell at Morton Downey Jr., he'd like scream at everybody and punch people and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to do that based in Jersey, in Secaucus, New Jersey. That's where WOR was at the time.
That's where Shutter and John got punched by him.
We got to find Ed tonight. Mm-hmm. I got one thing to talk to him about.
What was that, Uncle?
Hey, Uncle, did you used to listen to Howard Stern back in the day? Were you a fan of him and Baba Booey and all that?
I had when I had my little radio. Listening to him.
You did listen to Stern.
I heard it. I was listening to him a little bit. Okay. You know,
Did you watch the show, too, when it was on E?
I saw it. Did you see the TV show, Uncle? I used to watch that.
Didn't see it on E, though, but I heard it on the radio. But I was listening
to it. I used to watch the TV show, yeah. I enjoyed the show.
They still have him on They still have him on the show.
He's on Sirius now.
On Sirius now. Satellite radio.
He was the big name that they used to bring people over.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's pretty much good for a pretty good interview these days. He doesn't really have the same sense of humor or any of the gags from back in the day. He's kind of grown up, quote unquote.
Really? I haven't listened to it forever.
Haven't listened to him for a while now.
America's Got Talent and Mr. Mainstream. I mean,
sure. Yeah, I could see
that. Now that he's worth like $1 billion.
I got annoyed with Howard after a while, personally. He just got really annoying, and like his talking down to
some people was bad, was gone pretty bad. I agree with that.
It ended for me when Artie was gone. That's pretty much where I dropped off.
Yeah.
Artie left him, didn't he?
Artie Lang, yeah.
He left him.
Artie hurt himself, and then that was pretty much it. Yeah, he kind of was gone after that. That's 2010
Artie Lang was messed up on drugs.
Messing with drugs.
Howard Stern wouldn't have been helped by giving him money.
I've been trying to get Artie on my podcast, too. I came pretty close.
Really?
Oh.
Well, he talks about it. He ain't like ashamed of it.
He doesn't have a nose anymore either. I feel really bad.
I know that Ed Opperman had Jackie Martling on his show like last year at some point, I think. It might have been longer than that, but I remember he had him on. That was a good show.
He did, yeah. I remember that. Jackie actually blocked me on Twitter.
Oh, gosh.
His back scrunch.
Is that
I have a picture with him, though. I wanted to get Stuttering John on, too, but he charges like $500.
I think is Mr. Flash. Are you there?
Is Mr. Flash? Are you there?
Is Mr. Flash?
Hello.
There?
Mr. Flash.
Are you listening to your show? On speakers at all?
Yeah. Yeah.
How can we?
Oh, actually, go ahead and turn the volume.
Somebody's got to feed him.
Feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone.
Stuttering John charges $500 to appear.
Chuck.
Okay.
Chuck, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here now.
Chuck, are you there?
Yeah,
I'm here now.
We're getting feedback.
Hold on, I'll see what I can do with that.
Sorry, Chuck.
Chuck, you got on.
Chuck, you got on. Stop being that side.
Not on my end, because I'm usually muting myself.
All right, I got it now. What it was is Mr. Flash was feeding back on us because I just muted him, and he was feeding back. That's what the problem was. Okay. Sorry. Okay. I was in the bathroom is what the problem was.
Not a problem.
I sent you a message.
Once, twice. Once for the bulk, second for the remainder.
Well, I didn't even get all the way there, okay? Because I heard this from the other room, and I ran back in here. And I'm like, okay.
Just for future reference.
Yeah, so now I'm going to go complete the mission, okay? All right, guys.
All right, guys.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, they shouldn't talk.
Just a note to callers, if you do call in, don't make sure you just have your phone and don't be listening to anything in the background. Don't listen to the show in the background. Otherwise, they'll do that crazy stuff. And then
that's where you're here. That's what you're here otherwise.
Well, before all that happened, what were you saying about Jackie was on Ed Opperman's show? I think I caught that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I was just mentioning how Opperman got Jackie Martling on the show. That was a good interview. Ed did a good interview with Jackie Martling. So that was a cool show. So it's nice to
Ed had Stuttering John on too.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that one. That's cool.
Yeah, I wanted to have Stuttering John on now, too, but he apparently he has a fee now, which is like $500. He told me that on Facebook, and I was like, all right, John, I got you.
It's a bummer.
What, does he want money off the deal?
Yes.
Oh, then he's
He's got his own show now on like YouTube, and he's like super liberal. He's really into politics, and he's always about Trump this, Trump that. You know, it's kind of kind of boring. Yeah.
There's another one.
Yeah, one of those politics shows, Uncle. What do you think about that?
That's your section. That's your side, not mine.
It's my side.
This is Comedy Hour, not no punk show.
It is a punk show.
It's not a
it's a punk show.
Hey, Uncle, did you ever get to meet George Carlin?
George Carlin?
Yeah, George Carlin. He had the seven words you couldn't say on the radio and all that. Remember that? Seven dirty words? Hippy dippy weatherman? No.
No. That was early. That was during his time. Yeah, he's behind time.
I watched that documentary about Carlin. I think it was an HBO one. That was good.
Yeah, did anybody see Judd Apatow made it.
Okay, yeah.
Did anybody see Dr. No?
Dr. No?
I've seen that show.
You're talking about James Bond?
No. Dr. No.
You're talking about Dr. Phil?
Got a good... No. It's Dr. No.
What does Dr. No do?
It's a show.
The show.
Yeah, we got him now, Chuck. We got him to study something.
Dr. Strange.
So I'm going to have Kelly Carlin on my thing to talk about that documentary, Uncle.
Then you know what I'm talking about.
Then you'll know.
All right?
You'll know when you
talk to hell about, and next week or whenever you do, catch me back, and I'll see if you're right. How's that?
Yeah, you going to watch the documentary?
No, when you talk to the lady to know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Okay, there we go. Yes.
You were talking about how you like Dr. No, I think.
Yeah, Dr. No. And you're going to talk to a lady.
It's Carlin's wife, right? Isn't that
about
what you're talking
about, Chris? About that?
You're talking.
No,
is that what it is?
Kelly Carlin, George's daughter.
She couldn't do it right away
because she's doing press for the documentary right now. But she said in about a month, hit her up again. So I got that lined up, too.
Okay.
That's awesome, Chris.
You can ask him about the Dr. Gnome show, though.
Ask. Be sure to do that.
Do that for him. And then
ask about Dr. Gnome.
Tell him about Dr. Gnome.
It's an important interview.
It's a show that I've been watching a long time. Okay. I'm surprised at you people.
So when you have Kelly Carlin on your interview, be sure to tell her, like, Uncle's been watching Dr. No a really long time. Do you know Dr. No?
Yeah.
That's one of your interview questions.
Yeah, interview question. I want to see what this season
is. I just wrote it down.
Okay.
Now, is it not the James Bond thing, or is this a private Dr. No?
No, this is something else. This is not a James Bond. I can give you that.
Okay.
It isn't James Bond. It's something else.
Very interesting.
And it's not like another spy or anything, like Ethan Hunt or something?
No. Oh.
Okay.
Chris, you've been getting really good interviews. I congratulate you on sure, you're doing a good job over there, man. You're getting really good interviews.
Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I didn't mean to bring up my thing. I just was wondering if he really did. You guys really were fans of George Carlin. He's a hero of mine, and I got to meet him once, like right before he passed away in 2008.
He passed away.
I really like Carlin. You know George Carlin, right, Uncle? The comedian? He had a beard.
Yeah.
He kind of had a bald head. Sometimes he had longer hair. Beard,
You'd be like, it's a big club and you ain't in it. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It's one of his bits.
Oh, yeah. Not, I know you're talking about.
I'm sure if you saw him, you would know.
He was in the movie Dogma that was brought up in the last show. Yeah, he played a cardinal.
Just a regular priest.
With the Buddy Christ.
Oh, yes. Now I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
You remember the Buddy Christ in the movie Dogma? He goes, Buddy Christ. And he's like, it's like the cardinal, Cardinal Glick. That's Kevin Smith, who I'm also trying to get on my show.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. That would be awesome, Chris. Yeah, I wish you luck on that. That would be great.
Well, he keeps telling me a day, but then I go, I ask him, all right, so what time? And then I never get anything back, and I don't want to be a pest, so it's a little frustrating. Mm. You know, I thought I almost had him the last couple of weeks because he's doing press for Clerks 3 right now.
Gotcha.
You've been getting haven't been getting any wrestlers, have you, on your shows?
No, I haven't actually. That's funny you say that.
I'm still looking for some.
They're out
some wrestlers.
Yeah, some wrestlers.
Some wrestlers like WWE.
Oh, wrestlers! Oh, I thought you said some rest.
No.
Jesse Ventura.
Remember
him?
Yeah. I've talked to him, Percy Ventura.
He's been on the show.
Yeah.
Sort of,
yes. Yeah, he was.
really?
Yeah. I got. What do you mean, kind of?
He came out of the pool one night. I remember that. Okay.
The governor of Minnesota.
I used to be a Navy SEAL.
That's right.
I demand you let me into Area 51 right now. This is former Minnesota Governor Bessie Ventura. They're like, go away, lunatic, or we're going to shoot you.
I want to know about harp.
Angels don't play this harp.
You remember that?
Whatever happened to that guy, what was his name? He had his own show. He was in.
You know what's
media
funny?
Whatever happened to that guy?
That guy was the son of a congressman that actually disappeared on a plane with a guy named another congressman that was on the Warren Commission named Hale Boggs. And
Nick Begich, Nick Begich, right?
Nick Begich Jr. is the guy that you're talking about, but Nick Begich Sr. he disappeared with Hale Boggs in Alaska on his plane. And a lot of people think it was because Hale Boggs didn't agree with the rest of his Warren Commission members and was threatened. And his daughter was a famous famous media personality named Cokie Roberts, and she was, I don't know, kind of questioned it a little bit, too. And you know who drove them to the airport? A young Bill Clinton. Drove them to their, basically, to their demise.
Oh, yeah. Next president. Uncle,
have you ever seen that picture of Bill Clinton when he's wearing his Pioneer Scout uniform meeting JFK?
Yeah.
He's got his little short shorts on, and he looks ridiculous.
No, I didn't.
Hey, you standing next to Forrest Gump.
Oh, wait a minute. I was watching the Forrest Gump show, and it was there. That's what you meant.
Oh, what, Clinton? Yeah, playing the saxophone. Arsenio Hall.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of dead people around in his life.
Oh yeah.
Creative Accents wants to know what drink word.
What?
Saying.
What drink? You know? What drink?
I know which ones. What are we gonna get? And what one he has to find?
I'm wearing my Bumming with Bobcat t-shirt. There it is.
Oh, like a Kahlua and stuff?
T-shirt. Yeah. What we do here is what we test a beer from him, and then if we have it around, we go look for it, and then we'll drink that, whatever it is that he finds. That's how we operate.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out the New Year's thing.
Revolution drink.
Lots of stuff to work out for the revolution. We'll see how that goes, yeah.
Yeah, because that
it used
beer,
to be
a
crystal clear Pepsi was pretty good. Right,
that's
Uncle?
A lot of people drink that, but on a day like that, we go a little stronger than some of us. We go a little stronger.
So no right. Tab or squirt or anything?
Well, that depends on the person. If they can't drink,
terrible.
That's acceptable that they take a drink of whatever. Where are you going?
The dog. Yeah. Five minutes.
Not that good either.
5 minute warning, by the way.
Yeah.
5 minutes. Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, you're getting cheated on for your show. It's like 15 minutes late.
Uncle, did you win this week of with callers?
You get more
calls. Hey, how come I can't hear them again?
Well, we're still here. Can you hear me now, Jimmy James?
I hear you fine. I hear Chris fine. It's just Uncle and Aaron.
Yeah,
sometimes their audio just goes out.
Yeah, I thought it was me because I couldn't hear anybody except for Jimmy.
Hello, hello, hello. Testing. Hello, hello. Can you hear me? Hello, hello.
There you go. You guys heard Uncle now, right?
I hear you now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's what you had to say. You had to speak up. Speak up. So I kick.
Okay. Okay, so the score is like this. Yeah. If you're scoring callers at home, I had 5, Uncle has had 3, Aaron had 1.
Oh. You had 1? Oh, that means I need 2 more.
Yep.
Do we want to do shout-outs, Uncle? Are we going to have our callers do shout-outs?
Go ahead. They're going to have the shout-outs. Okay. Might as well have the shout-outs if it got 5 minutes, I guess.
So why don't we go to Jimmy first? Jimmy.
Yeah. Shout out to the doodah man. Everyone have a good weekend. Bye.
Jim.
There you have it. Jimmy James giving his shout out. So you want to go to Chris or Flash next? Although Flash appears to have dropped off. So actually you got Chris remaining. Chris, shout out.
Yeah, I'd like to shout out to the late Jim Varney and his neighbor Vern, you know what I mean? And Balky from Perfect Strangers.
Thank you.
Oh, there yes. You. Perfect Strangers. Yes, yes. I know who you're talking about.
Oh, Cousin Larry.
Yes, yes. Check out Larry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know him.
The Dance of Joy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I used to love that.
Matter of fact, you know that's still going on. It's got a Chapter 5 coming down.
It's on one of those weird cable.
Oh, I thought he went back to Meepos, no?
Meepos?
Meepos, yeah.
No.
Oh, Cousin Larry.
Got stuck in the tree.
On Meepos podcast.
Yeah, you should say Cousin Larry instead of Cousin Larry.
Yeah, Cousin Larry,
yeah.
All right, Chris. Thanks for calling in, and congratulations on your interviews, man. Your show's
been good. Yeah, congratulations.
Hey, thank you, sirs. Have a good weekend.
You do.
All right, Uncle, do you want to give a shout-out?
Muted. Unmuted.
Unmuted.
You're unmuted, Uncle.
Wait a minute now. Who's right now, I'm the shout-out to everybody that's been listening, and hopefully a shout-out to a person that ever will get on this phone. You know who he is. A shout-out to him.
Shout-out to Crazy Accidents.
Yeah, Crazy Accidents. I'll give a shout-out to Mr. Flash, our winner of
Mr. Flash. Shout-out.
Name That Tune game. You will be receiving your Uncle the Podcast tie-dye t-shirt as your prize. I'll get a hold of your Uncle Ray, and we'll set that all up for you. Thank you, everybody who plays Name That Tune on Instagram, at Uncle Podcast on Instagram. And thank you to Robin for giving up his shirt to make this wonderful game happen. So shout-outs all there. And, again, at Uncle Podcast Twitter and Instagram.
One other person to shout-out to, I mentioned to say.
Yeah, sure. Do it.
Eddie, a shout-out to you, because – I got to talk about your, what you call it, friends.
Yeah, that's, we're going to have to save that for next week.
Next week's show.
So we'll discuss all that next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening live Friday night or on the podcast, UncleThePodcast.com. Uncle, bring us home.
There's our show. 175 is in the books. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Chili.com.